NamNab is a podcast that deals with the grisly details of a variety of topics, including true crime cases, government cover-ups, conspiracies, and the paranormal. This content is not suitable for everyone. Viewer discretion is advised.
She was murdered.
Sup, my dudes?
Welcome back.
This is not a monster, not a boogeyman.
I'm Naomi.
I'm Janae.
I'm Les.
Sorry. For my roommate.
She's like, are you going to be home? I'm like, maybe not.
We'll see.
But yes, that's us. That's us.
So today I'm going to fuck you up with some grunge history that I didn't know until today.
Yes!
Or, so you know, until pumped. I did this case.
I literally had no idea.
Me neither. I had no idea. We'll get into it.
I'm so fucking excited.
So sources today are going to be Wikipedia, The Spokesman Review, The Spokane Chronicle, Grunge.com, a very specific article that I will link in the description, the Unsolved Mysteries Wiki, and then NirvanaDiscography.com.
Nice.
So today's episode deals with sexual assault, kidnapping, torture, pedophilia, and mentions of self-harm. Please do what you need to do to take care of yourself, even if that means you skip today's episode. Everyone here in the heavy music, this mm-hmm. whole table.
Yes. Yep.
Metal, rock, emo, all of it, into all of it.
Yeah.
And I know, like, for me, one of my first memories of being introduced to, like, more heavy rock or heavy music was Nirvana's Nevermind album.
Yep.
Because my mom was super into them. So yeah, that was like one of my earliest memories of loving rock and roll. And I don't know if you guys know this, but Kurt Cobain was a feminist through and through. I will fight yep. anyone who says otherwise. Happy to do it. We're actually
y'all are into men in dresses, so I suggest you give it a look up. I see you, TikTok, and I'm there.
I see you, TikTok. I'm actually going to talk a little bit more about Kurt Cobain in this month's bonus episode. So if you are interested, go check out our Patreon this month. We'll be talking about it. Mm-hmm. Part of this feminism means that he cared greatly about survivors of sexual violence, relationship violence, and stalking, and made that very clear.
Mm-hmm.
Part of like his feminist stuff was hanging out with the front woman from Bikini Kill, who is actually the reason yep. that third wave feminism is even a thing. So, yeah, lots of feminist history there.
He's a cool motherfucker.
Fuck yeah, Kurt Cobain was a dope-ass dude. One of my favorite songs from Nevermind is Polly, and it's actually my favorite Nirvana song of all time.
Gives me the creeps a little bit.
It does. It's creepy. If you've heard the song, you know how disturbing the lyrics are. You know that they reference torture and self-harm.
Mm-hmm.
What you likely don't know is that the song was inspired by a real crime. There's a common misconception that this song is about another terrible crime, the kidnapping and murder of 12-year-old Polly Klass, which we may discuss at some point. It's a really fucking disgusting case.
Mm-hmm.
But that story is not the story that Polly is based off of. It's a super inaccurate thing to even say, considering the case with Polly Klass happened in 1993. Nirvana's Nevermind came out in 1991. So it doesn't even line yeah. up.
It's like, try a little bit harder with your research.
Yes. Yeah, it doesn't
and
make any
claims.
Sense. So today we're discussing the actual case that inspired the song. We're going to be discussing the crimes of one Gerald Friend.
Yes. Mr. Friend.
Yes.
Character
I
from
hate
Courage
that.
The Cowardly Dog.
Yeah, it sounds like some horrible monstrosity that I now need to draw.
So I'll give you a little background. There's not really a whole lot known about Gerald Friend. He was born in 1938, but I wasn't really able to find anything about his family life or upbringing or any spouses or significant others.
Is he American?
Yeah, oh. yeah. From the Pacific Northwest area. What I did find was a history of violence against women starting at the ripe age of 22. Or
cool.
at least this was the first time he was caught.
Yeah.
So at just 22, Gerald began kidnapping and attacking children. His first attack was a 12-year-old girl. The year was 1960, and the young girl was hitchhiking with her brother, a common practice at the time, which we now know not a great one. Don't hitchhike. Don't hitchhike.
We've said that like 7 times on our show.
So I feel like it's just the rule of the true crime community at this point. Just don't do it.
Don't rule hitchhike, and don't agree to a polygraph, even if you're innocent.
Yeah.
Friend picked up both children by forcing the young boy, before forcing the young boy out of the car while threatening him with a gun. Friend then drove the young girl up to Mount Rainier National Park. Once they were in a secluded area, he beat and raped the girl before cutting her hair off.
Jesus Whoa. Christ.
So, just the hair?
Yeah, he cut her hair off, which I thought could be an interesting discussion. I don't really understand the purpose of doing that.
Would he keep it?
Defeminizing.
Interesting argument. Maybe keeping her to kidnap her and change her appearance.
That too.
Keep her hair, yeah. Probably, is what I meant.
I was
like a trophy.
Yeah. It could be a trophy. And also, if I feel like with sexual assault, we always talk about the fact that it's a power thing as well.
Yeah. The young girl, a super badass, escaped by swimming up a nearby river after being beaten and raped for hours. I'm not using their names either because these are minors who were sexually assaulted.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to use their names to identify them.
No. Don't. You're a badass, though.
Like, what?
That must be... That is insane. Like,
you have quite the will to live.
There's a lot of reasons why you should have probably just died. Yep, and your body was like, nope.
We're not doing that.
That's insane.
She was actually saved by a passing driver who saw her.
Wow.
And, you know, they picked her up or whatever and
Where exactly did her crimes happen?
Mount Rainier National Park.
Right, okay.
In Washington.
Right. Oh, my God. Terrifying.
Friend fled the scene after the girl escaped because he knew
no
he would
shit.
Get caught. So he fled the scene and actually hid in a nearby field, a field that was like close to his home, for multiple days before his father found him in the field.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
That's
he was just
so
like hanging out
weird.
With a gun and like chilling
okay.
in this field, hiding.
All right.
Weird.
Yeah.
When his father found him, it actually resulted in a fight because he was like, you're turning your ass in. We're not fucking doing this. The fight resulted in friend pulling a gun on his father.
Cool.
And this guy is such a fucking dumbass that he can't even shoot a gun straight. So instead of hitting his dad when he discharged the gun, he shot himself in the leg. After this show of pure dumbassery, a friend's father took him to the hospital and called the police to turn him in.
Good.
Wait, one time.
So turn him in for shooting him or
for
raping
that
girl?
Little girl.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I feel like, how was it that his dad found
yeah,
out
how
or
did
heard
he
through
find
the
out?
News?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, the girl had gone to report. She made a report about it and
they
had not been able to find the man.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay. Wow. Thank God for that parent.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what you call parenting right there.
That's how you
people.
Probably do it. If your kid fucks up, don't cover
don't
for them.
Don't cover for them. Mom, don't cover for me when you
no.
find out. Just kidding.
Just
she would, though. She'd be like, oh, I have no idea.
My mom
daughter
would also
what?
Do that.
Yeah.
So.
My mom would
she
not.
Give you up
she
right
would
100%
give me to the cops.
Oh, my God. Okay, cool. Well, good.
Yeah,
okay.
So he turns him in, and he was charged with first-degree kidnapping. And according to Wikipedia, also charged with rape and torture, though I was unable to confirm this due to the nature of public records at the time. They were not electronic, so I can't really, like, look up some of this information to confirm
yeah.
it.
You're just going to travel there and go to their documents and be like, hey, can I just see?
Can I have this? Thanks.
I just want a copy.
This gained him a sentence of 75 years in Walla Walla.
Wow.
Which is also known as Washington State Penitentiary. However, justice would fail the victim many times.
Of course.
Friend was able to escape twice in his time served there.
Oh my God, the amount of anxiety that just went through me.
You want to get even more angry?
No.
He escaped twice during his time there and was released on parole after serving 20 years.
Excuse me?
Yes, he kidnapped, beat, and raped a 12-year-old.
Then escaped a couple times.
and they let him out for good behavior.
What? I was about to say, not even for good behavior.
Oh my god.
Absolutely not.
Oh my god, dude.
I fucking hate it here.
Yeah. This is crap.
This lays the foundation for the crime he would later commit because
he got out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
If you had just not fucked up the first time, none of this would have happened.
None of this would have happened. In 1987, friends saw a young girl walking home from a concert and offered her a ride. Upon her accepting the ride, friend held her captive at knife point and handcuffed her to the car.
No.
Yeah.
No. No.
The girl was 14 years old at the time.
No.
Why the fuck would you fucking...
He took her to his home, a mobile home, where he tortured her for hours from the late hours of June 5th into the early hours of June 6th. And this is where it gets pretty bad, so I apologize. The girl was repeatedly raped and tortured during this time. Some of this included being held in friend's mobile home for hours, tied up to a rope and pulley system that was suspended from the ceiling to be assaulted.
What the fuck?
Oh my All god,
the right. premeditation.
This is right. fucking a horror
this
movie.
This is disgusting.
Cool.
Right, like this man obviously can't this is do hostile. Something like this.
Oh, he already had that prepped?
Yep.
It's disgusting.
I hate this.
Friend raped the girl many times, including with foreign objects during her time in captivity. He blindfolded her and even ran a propane torch along her skin.
Oh
he
my
used
god.
A leather whip. Razors, hot wax, and knives to torture her in her time there as well.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So this girl has gone through unimaginable shit. In the early hours on June 6th, friend moved the girl back to his truck so that he could go fill his truck with gas. This would be his downfall. The girl escaped from the truck and began to make a huge scene at the gas station.
Good.
Good.
Freaking out. This guy kidnapped me. Running, right, all the things.
Good.
Drawing too much attention for his liking, friend left the girl in the parking lot, where onlookers assisted her and got her to the police.
Good.
Thank God.
Of course, like the coward he is, he fled. The young girl was able to direct police to his home, where they didn't find him, but they did find the pulley system that the girl had discussed being tortured with.
So gross to
fucking
me. It's so
that she
gross.
Even has to say that to you guys. Yeah. Honestly.
And I feel like that's probably the only reason they believed her is because she was able to, in detail, describe this thing that she was hooked up to.
And I want
to
say, like, that's really... I don't want to say resilience, because I fucking hate that. But, like, Janae and I know that trauma within the brain, it affects your memory really, really badly. Especially if you're a survivor of sexual assault. You may not fully remember what happened to you because your depersonalization,
It wasn't until June 7th when he was stopped for a traffic violation that police found him and arrested him for the kidnapping and rape of this young girl.
Again? Oh, great.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, didn't we get you last time?
After this, police considered friend for other crimes happening in the area as authorities were dealing with a serial killer and murderer in the Washington state area at this time. Does anyone have any guesses? No? Les?
What year was it?
1987.
No, I just have no fucking clue. I suck with dates.
No worries. I just wanted to test your serial killer knowledge.
I failed.
Was it? No. I'm thinking Wisconsin. Never mind.
Friend was considered one of the 20,000 suspects that the Washington authorities had for none other than the Green River Killer.
Oh.
Gary Ridgway. Of course, Friend was not the Green River Killer, a title that went to the sack of human shit that is Gary Ridgway. If you have any interest in us covering that case, we can do it. I just find him bland and unoriginal because he's one of those people who murdered sex workers because they're, quote, scum of the earth. And I also want to bring up that Gary Ridgway, before Samuel Linnell confessed to, 93 murders, Gary Ridgway held the record for the largest number of killings by one human being in our country. Because he killed 53 women.
Disgusting. All right. Wow. Ugh. It gives me fucking chills. You know, we got a lot of those little Garys around everywhere.
The thing that gets me with people like Gary Ridgway is, like, you think you're doing a fucking service to this planet.
What?
Out of 20,000 suspects, Friend was number 9 or 10 on the list, according to authorities in interviews with the Spokane Chronicle during that year. So he was pretty high up there.
Yeah. They're like, you look sus.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you fucking kidnap and rape 2 children. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty fucking sus. Apparently not sus enough to keep you in prison.
No, absolutely not. Because this country doesn't care about its children.
No, they don't care about shit.
He was also considered a suspect in 2 other killings, the murders of 13-year-old Jennifer Baston and 12-year-old Michaela Welch. These cases were unsolved for years, and many considered them to be connected, and they were likely killed by the same person. However, in 1989, Jennifer's case caught a break due to a Dateline broadcast and brought forward a suspect that had been on police's radar for like a long time. Mm. He was a suspect initially, but he was unable to be located until the Dateline episode came out. Someone called and was like, I know that guy. However, he was not responsible. Hmm. In 2018, Robert Washburn was arrested for Jennifer's murder, confirmed by DNA. And 2 months later, Michaela's murder was solved as Gary Hartman was arrested and is currently awaiting trial for her murder. It took them 30 years to find the murderers of both of these children.
Jesus Christ. I'm unsurprised, and every time I'm still angry.
Wow. 30 years.
They were both based on DNA. Like, that's how they figured it out. So, anyway, so the crime that took place in 1987 of Gerald Friends began its trial in August of 1987, and due to the testimony of the girl who had been attacked, the jury was able to convict Friends of first-degree kidnapping and first-degree rape. It took the jury just 6 hours to convict him on all charges. Not only was he convicted of these charges, he was also sentenced to finish that 75
Yay!
Years.
Thank
fucking God.
They're so stupid.
Couldn't get it the first time around.
Yep, they added those years onto his sentence for this crime. Because he was on parole, and that's kind of how parole works, I guess. Like, if you fuck up, goes back. During the trial, the survivor learned of the horrible crime that Friend had committed in 1960 and had been granted parole for in 1980. This clearly didn't sit right with her, because if he had been serving his sentence like he had supposed to be doing, she wouldn't have been attacked. Yeah. In reaction, she sued the state for their negligence
in
1980.
Thank
God. Good.
The case stated that, quote, the state and Department of Corrections acted with wanton disregard for public safety by releasing him in 1980, end quote.
Yep.
She sought an unreported amount of money for damages from the state. Since I don't know the name of the survivor, I was not able to look up the lawsuit, so I can't actually tell you what the outcome of that lawsuit is. If anyone knows,
I really, really hope that went well.
Yeah. Me too. Me too.
You deserve a lot of money for the amount of shit you went through.
Friend attempted to appeal his case in 1992, claiming that authorities didn't respect his search and seizure rights. This did absolutely nothing for him, as there was no evidence that had taken place. He's currently serving his time in Airway Heights Correction Center in Washington. He's 83 years old. So this is where it gets a little different. Probably one of the most fucked up Nirvana songs ever written, Polly.
Yeah.
It's often, like I said, often attributed to being inspired by the kidnapping of Polly Klass. But once again, she was kidnapped in 1993. Nevermind came out in 91. There's no possible way that case inspired this song. Nirvana lead Kurt Cobain was asked about the song many times, and he stated that he read about the crime of Gerald Friend in 1987 in a local paper and was so bothered by the series of events that he wrote a song about it. When asked to elaborate more on the song, he said, quote, it's an anti-rape song. There's not much more I can say about it. What else can I say? End quote. In the notes of a compilation album titled Incesticide, Cobain discusses some of his views and the use of the song in terrible ways. Quote, at this point, I have a request for all our fans. If any of you in any way hate homosexuals, people of different color, or women, please do one favor for us and leave us the fuck alone. Don't come to our shows and don't buy our records. Last year, a girl was raped by 2 wastes of sperm and eggs while they sang the lyrics to our song, Polly. I have a hard time carrying on knowing that there are plankton like that in our audience. Sorry to be so anally politically correct, but it's the way I feel, end quote. With that, I want to leave you with the lyrics of Polly to equate them to the crime. So first verse, Polly wants a cracker. Think I should get off her first. I think she wants some water to put out the blowtorch. Polly wants a cracker. Maybe she would like some food. She asks me to untie her. Chase would be nice for a few. Polly says her back hurts. She said she's just as bored as me. She caught me off guard. Amazes me the will of instinct. The chorus is, isn't me, have a seed, let me clip your dirty wings. Let me take a ride, cut yourself, want some help, please myself. Got some rope, have been told, promise you, have been true. Let me take a ride, cut yourself, want some help, please myself.
It's so unsettling.
And that is how Polly by Nirvana happened.
Whoa. That's so fucked up.
I hated those lyrics before, and I hate them more now.
It's even worse now, because it's like I know exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Ew. Wait, but where exactly is the word Polly from exactly? It was just random.
Just a random name you picked.
Yeah.
I get it.
It reminds me back to the time where I did that Gary Hynek episode because of that one song. And like now I go back and I listen to...
Sorry,
we have a little guest.
Sorry.
I go back and I listen to that song because it's on my playlist. It's unsettling because now I can tell exactly what they're talking about.
Yep.
And oh boy.
Go listen to Polly after this and tell me how you feel about it now.
Like, I probably will listen to it again.
Or holy Nirvana shit. Fan before.
You know, it's like so awesome though.
Yeah.
Love
it's
him interesting. So much.
Yeah.
Fuck those guys who are using that song.
Yeah.
Disgusting. It's like the fucking point. God, they ruin everything.
You missed the entire fucking point.
Everything.
And it's like when you're a fucking asshole and you're a punk.
Yeah.
You that can't shit. Be racist. You can't be homophobic. You can't you're be just all this Nazi shit. You point. Can't be a bootlicker. If you want to be punk or alternative, get out of here. You're not a part of our culture.
Hey, fucking man. And that's exactly how Kurt Cobain felt. So, yes, like I said, if you want to hear some more about Kurt Cobain, come check out our Patreon this month. We'll be talking about it.
But we have lots of other shit we want to do there. We're just waiting for more of you guys so we can do things like live pod or like
court recordings.
Yeah, those.
Video podcasts.
Yeah, that. We'll do live streams and do some cool stuff.
And come back next week. I think next week we dive into a 3-4-part series of some really fucked up shit.
Oh, fuck. I'm not ready. I'm not ready to film this one, guys.
I'm not ready to do more research on it because it scares me.
I've been doing the research and I
don't know
not
how you guys
slept.
Are doing it because I...
Very well.
I'd be so
I'm
paranoid
afraid of that
after
book,
this.
Dude. I can't do it. No, no. No, Nate's handling the more, well, you know, yeah. Very much more intense parts of it.
But
yay, I'm scared.
I'm gonna vomit.
Come back next week.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.